The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we are back. It is the final hour of the week, and by this time Monday, we'll either know who the national champion is in college baseball or be getting ready for the final game of the season. Last night, high drama in Omaha. They're talking about it all over the place today, and they may be talking about this game forever. This is what it looked and sounded like late last night.
And he hung one. Did he get it? Did he get it? Yes, he did. Tommy Tanks walks it off. And the LSU Tigers will face the Gators in the finals.
Tommy, how's the heartbeat?
Oh, 1,000,000,000 miles an hour. Oh no, I'm gassed. Yeah.
What were you looking for in that AB off Manassi?
Fastball. I didn't get a fastball. I was so amped up that I just threw my hands at it.
And everybody's talking about it, and everybody is looking forward to tomorrow night when Florida and LSU meet. They've done this before in 2017. Connor O'Gara, even though he's got a newborn at home, was up late watching the action. Connor, first of all, thanks for joining us and congratulations. I know you've been off for a little while welcoming your first child, and congratulations, and I know it's been quite an experience.
Paul, appreciate that. Yes, it's been quite a few weeks in our household. It was great to be able to sit down and watch some exciting drama unfold. We had, you know, I got my mom and her boyfriend in town, and my wife. We're sitting here and we're watching this entire 11 inning game unfold, and it was just absolutely incredible. I mean, one of those things that you don't think that you're going to be as dialed into a scoreless game that lasts 11 innings. But man, it was just unbelievable, and to have an ending like that, it was just one of those things that I think college baseball fans would be talking about for decades.
And we know about the SEC in baseball. We really don't need to dig that deep, but here we are again. Seems like not every year, but every other year, we have the two SEC teams meeting in football and baseball and who knows what else, but the league will certainly be on full display this weekend in Omaha.
It will be. And I'm old enough to remember when one of the storylines going into the College World Series was, and the SEC really hasn't performed all that well. Only three teams in the field, don't necessarily have one of the favorites. It's probably going to end up being Wake Forest, maybe TCU. And you know, we're sitting here with two teams from the SEC who are once again going to play for a national championship. And, you know, we talk all the time about football dominance, but the baseball dominance has been just on a different level. And I don't necessarily think that if you're sitting here today still pretending like the SEC doesn't dominate the sport, I don't really think you have much of an argument to be able to make after LSU knocked off the top seed in the tournament. And I realize that's nothing new, because the top seed in college baseball tournament has not won at all since Miami in 1999. But still, I do think that this conference just finds a new way to be able to flex this time of year.
That stat that you just laid on us is remarkable when you think about it, because you don't just become the number one seed in the college baseball tournament. But it also goes to what I think it was Sully said today in terms of, you know, the best team doesn't always win it. You have to play the best when it matters. Baseball is different than other sports.
Yeah, I was talking to Ben McDonald about this, who obviously LSU fans know very, very well. And, you know, one of the things that he brought up was, you know, this realization of you can have studs all across the field and you can have talent-rich teams like what LSU has, but reality is, guys can go 0-for-4. It's so much different than other sports, in which in basketball, you know, you got your best players bringing the ball off the floor. They're getting a touch in every single half-court situation. Football, all right, you got a dominant running back. You've got, you know, five-star talent all over the place. You know, you should have a significant advantage. And, you know, baseball just has not been the case in terms of the best team winning. And just, I think the margin for error is so unbelievably slim. And how about this, too? I mean, my editor, Chris Wright, brought this up going into the NCAA tournament, so well before LSU kind of went on this run in Omaha. But he's saying, you know, the last time we had a number one overall pick win the national championship in the same year was 1965. I think it was Rick Monday. And Dylan Cruz is in position to potentially be that. Obviously, LSU still has a lot of work to do to beat a really good Florida team. But, man, it's just so weird the way that that has broken down and how it hasn't necessarily been talent dependent, despite the fact that that seems like all we talk about when it comes to college football.
Well, let's get to college football here for a moment, since we haven't talked to you about it very much in recent weeks. So many different storylines. We're 3 weeks away from Nashville, and as we get closer, what, if there is one thing, and there may be many, you are looking forward to the most in being there and listening to and writing about?
Well, I mean, you and I are both big country music fans, so I'm just looking forward to being in Nashville, talking a little bit of country music, maybe hitting Broadway with you. You know, we'll have ourselves a good old time. We'll hit up all the honky-tonks. I'm looking forward to that. No, in all seriousness, I think it's going to be really interesting to see the way that these coaches are talking about NIL and what's going to be the storyline with NIL. Does anybody have anything that we haven't heard a million times? Are we going to hear anybody kind of push for anything outside of legislation with the federal government? That's going to be the big storyline that I think everybody's going to be looking forward to. But also this conference schedule stuff, I think it's fascinating. The fact that we essentially have this placeholder in 2024 with the 8-game conference schedule, and beyond that is really to be determined. And what does Greg Sankey do? Are we going to have coaches that are going to outwardly lobby one way or another? I think that's going to be fascinating. And, you know, getting to talk about things like that this time of year, it feels like we spend more time talking about that than we do the actual football on the field. But I imagine those two things are going to dominate conversation in Nashville.
We're already hearing from some, not all, that LSU seems to be the favorite of some of the writers, broadcasters, about winning the West. I don't know, maybe I'm a traditionalist, but I still believe it will be Alabama selected to win the West. Where are you on the debate that really doesn't matter, but we'll be talking about anyway?
I think Alabama's going to be the pick to win the West. I do think that there will be plenty of people who pick LSU. And I think this really goes back to 2015. 2015, we had Auburn as the pick to win the SEC, but Bama was still the pick to win the West. I still don't really get that full breakdown, but nonetheless, we know how that played out. Auburn went 2-6 in conference play. It was the Jeremy Johnson year, and it was just a disaster. Since then, Alabama has been the pick to win the division and win the SEC every single year. You talk about really interesting storylines. One that I probably should have brought up, Georgia. Is Georgia going to be the pick to win the SEC? The two-time defending national champ who hasn't been the pick to win the conference in 2 decades? I mean, is Georgia finally going to be the pick to win the SEC? I think that's really interesting in seeing how people react to Alabama potentially getting slighted, because the last 3 instances in which they were either not picked to win the division or not picked to win the SEC, all they did was go on to win a national championship. Is this going to be a year like that? Is this going to be when the yummy rat poison, as Nick Saban likes to talk about, is it going to surface right now with SEC media days, with potentially LSU being picked to win the West? Because if we're being honest, LSU has fewer questions to answer than Alabama, and LSU is the defending West champ. So in theory, one would think LSU should be the pick to win the West, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the case, because I think nobody wants to be the person that picks against Alabama and ends up being wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's a big part of it. And you would go broke picking against Alabama in the last 17 years. So where are you on that question?
You know, I'm not in the position that you are, where I just blindly pick Alabama to win a national championship every single year. I'm not at that level.
You might stay tuned this year for a different answer.
I know. I'm picking, and you teased that on my airwaves as well when you came on the Saturday Down South podcast last month, and you talked about how you might just have a different pick. And when you pick Georgia, we will go back to this moment. We'll say, see, you told everybody that you weren't picking Alabama this year. But look, I think that Alabama winning a national championship, if you're saying that in the preseason, it's the most blind faith that one can ever have in Nick Saban. That's really what it comes down to. As of right now, I am picking Alabama to win the SEC West. Do I feel particularly great about that this year? No. Do I still have faith in Nick Saban that he can put together an 11-1 season? He can have a vintage Alabama defense, which, oh, by the way, still has a ton of talent across the board that we're probably not talking about enough, despite all the spring game struggles at quarterback. And can we see a world in which Alabama is once again playing in Atlanta against Georgia for an SEC championship? Absolutely. These people that are saying that Alabama's fallen off the face of the earth, it's like, look, these last 2 years, I think the standard is so unbelievably high that 10-2 does feel like it's falling off the face of the earth, despite the fact that it's a top five finish. So I don't think that Alabama, if you're pouring dirt on their grave at this point, I think it's still a bit premature, despite the fact that, yes, I think all those questions are there.
There's so many things that come up about Nick Saban, you know, from callers, from media people, some of your brethren. I mean, forget, you know, doubting him. I mean, they've written him off. You've heard the rhetoric. Why do you think that is?
Because there's Bama fatigue still. I mean, when was the last time in this business in which there wasn't Bama fatigue? Now, I think there's also a little bit of this frustration after the way that Nick Saban handled last year's playoff nub in his eyes. And to me, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard Nick Saban say was what he has continued to bang his drum about and what he said with Joel Klatt, this past week, going on his airwaves and talking about how if they should have been in the playoff because they would have been favored against three of the four teams. That to me is preposterous, like absolutely ridiculous, and it gets my blood boiling just thinking about it, considering Alabama was a two-loss team who didn't beat anybody that had fewer than four losses last year. And if you think that we're living in a world in which you should just be in the playoff based on who's favored, I've got news for them. 12-1 TCU still probably wouldn't have been favored over a 3-9 Alabama team, because why would the odds makers make Alabama an underdog? So I realize that's kind of a separate tangent, but to me, I think it's little comments like that make everybody on the outside want to pick against Alabama, because for a very long time it felt like the boring default pick, and people like seeing the death of the dynasty, and this is what, in the eyes of many, it should look like.
Great stuff. We will continue it in a few weeks when we see Connor in Nashville. We'll take a short break here. More of your phone calls as we wind up the day and the week right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back, and we have some very sad news to pass along from College Station. Terry Price, who grew up in Texas, who played at Texas A&M for Jackie Sherrill, earned all Southwest Conference honors, has passed away. He has been part of the Texas A&M coaching staff for many, many years. He formerly worked at Ole Miss under Tommy Tuberville and at Auburn for many years under Tommy. Then he went back to Ole Miss, and since 2013, he has been at A&M under several coaches. He was currently on the staff and died this afternoon at the age of 55. He's survived by a wife and two children. Just an absolute tragedy to have to pass along someone who highly respected, revered by his players, and will be missed by all. Iman is next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I didn't hear the name, but on what you were saying.
His name was Terry Price. He coached at Auburn for many, many years under Tuberville and others, and he played at Texas A&M, was currently on the Jimbo Fisher's coaching staff in College Station.
No, I hate to hear that. Prayers and blessings to his family, friends. Well, Paul, I don't have any frailties or any addictions or any dislikes or disjointments or anything to talk about today. So I guess we just have a regular conversation. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Sure. You know, I heard Legend call in the other day and talk about all them old-timers. They got to bring up the game. They're sick. They're tired. You know, they're stupid. He said, I don't even like my calls. I had to change. I lost the Feinbaum caller trying to be entertaining. Now, is that going Nick Saban, or is that going Nick Saban? I mean, is that an excuse after an excuse? First off, he's trying to be entertaining. Why don't he just be the normal jackass he always is? Here's a black hat for you. Here's a black hat. I got a case of black hats. And then the way he was talking about all these people, you know, parading and complaining about all the old callers. I mean, he's pulling that old con man job, trying to get new likes so he can win that championship next year. I mean, he's so full of himself that sometimes he gets lost in that fullness. But I can see why. It's easy. Because we're going to culinary school now. We're going to be the damn chef cook. I got a knife and a fork. Don't you come near that tater salad. I cut them fingers off. You know, Paul, you just got to love it. And you know, what is it with all these calls? I used to like Iman's calls, but I don't think I like it. Did I come in here looking for friends? Did I come in here requesting Christmas cards or anything? Didn't Charles Barkley say years ago, I am not a role model. I'm not a role model, ladies. I'm just a caller. What does these people think when they listen to this program? Are they looking for role models? I mean, how many times have I said this? I'm just a caller to the show. That's it. And because y'all are millions and millions of eavesdropping on a personal phone call between me and Paul Feinbaum, I can't help that. But that takes us back to the 50s when everybody had a party line, and guess what? Everybody eavesdropped then, too. And you know what? We had one, and I eavesdropped, so that prepared me for this moment right here. Right here, this moment. Look here. What kind of word is that? Look here. Spell that, Paul. Look here. Look here.
It's got an A in it somewhere.
It can't be spelled. It can only be pronounced. And you know, all these people want to call in, jump on Jim. Jim's just a regular caller like everybody else. He just happens to be on page 54. And he's got a nice little prominent spot right there in 54. Everybody, you know, everybody else. It's Jim and everybody else. And right now, it's Cat Daddy and everybody else. Legend came in second in the caller of the year. But you know what? It's the winner and everybody else is a loser. Isn't that the way it's always been kind of said on this program? I mean, we're here to hire and fire coaches and get rid of people. Throw them off the bridges. I mean, when did we get all this political correctness? I don't like him. He hurt my feelings. This ain't the show. If you've got tender feelings, you need to talk to Dr. Phil or something. He might give you a break. But from the few clips I've seen him, he might drill your damn brain, too. I mean, where is all this kindness Everybody's seeking this kindness. I mean, can't we just all get along and respect one another? If you're sick, you're sick. We wish you well. If you're happy, we wish you well. If you're not doing so well, we wish you well. And guess what, Paul? I wish you well. And I wish you so much wellness. I'm going to call you every day for the rest of your natural life and 5 days after. Ward Damn Eagle, have a good afternoon.
That's the greatest caller on the show, Paul. He is philosophical, and he's real. I love this guy. He has changed so much, and he's fabulous. He's the best caller on the show, I'm telling you. What say you, Paul?
Well, he delivered tonight.
He flat delivered tonight, and he's been delivering. I talked to Jeff off air all week. He said, "This I-Man has been fabulous since the first of this year when he complimented and gave a great eulogy two or three times for Mike Leach. I-Man is the man. I never thought I'd say it. I'm saying it with all my heart. And I love hearing that guy. That was the most brilliant call he's done.
You guys, at one time, you couldn't find.
I know that, Paul. You don't have to remind me. You don't have to remind him. He took out on me. But he's always been fired up. He's always been passionate, as you say. And like that call, there's no call ever can top that call he just made right there. I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. Let's see if we can top it right here. Augie is in New Orleans.
Well, first off, Paul, prayers and thoughts to the coach from A&M family. I mean, these are the things that bring reality back, you know, to sports. So just tragic, and all the best to them. And I agree with Jim. I-Man, and you said it, I-Man's the most philosophical caller of the show. And I think he's right. I think we're tired of the political correctness. People need to say what they really think and not worry about what the consequences are. So, and I understand I was on a show already before he even called in.
Yeah, Augie, this call was in late March.
I remember.
The call we're about to play right here. So listen up to Augie, 4 months ago?
I remember.
Can I go on a rant for just a second?
Sure.
LSU baseball is a fraud. They are total fraud. That game against Arkansas was embarrassing. Jay Johnson, the coach of LSU, supposedly assembled this dream team, right? The best team that ever supposedly walked into college baseball. Well, he's got a bunch of rejects from other schools through the transfer portal. He's got this fake hitting program where they run up scores against teams like University of New Orleans, Southern, Grambling, Central Connecticut, and today against a decent team. I'm saying they're probably one of the best teams in the country.
Listen, what are you talking about? I mean, in the 10th, top of the 10th, LSU only gave up a three-run homer and a grand slam. I mean, you don't think that was good managing?
I can tell you this. Unless they turn it around in some immaculate form, they may come out fourth or fifth in the SEC. Right now, they have embarrassed the LSU baseball program.
But, Augie, fourth or fifth in the SEC still puts you in the top six or seven in the country, though. So, I mean,
yeah, but when you're supposed to have the best team ever in LSU history,
allow me to remind you that last year, this wasn't me or you. This was the who was in here? Who did we have? KP telling us this, that Tennessee was the best team in the history of college baseball. And didn't get it. I don't even think they got out of their own. Were they in a super regional or a regular region? I can't remember.
No, you're right about that. And I'm not saying it's the only time that a school has been.
I don't think they got out of the region in the first round, did they? Yeah, Tennessee was in a super regional. That call was 3 months ago today.
And 3 months ago today, let's turn back the page, Paul. Let's go back to the beginning, even before the season started. All we were getting were tweets from LSU about all the great transfers we got. One of them, Tommy Tanks from North Carolina State, he did deliver. But going back, let's remember.
Yeah, but I don't want to be a revisionist history. All I do remember was that
I'm
call. I remember your tweet where you called the players a bunch of bums.
A bunch of bums. That's right.
And I pushed back and said, Augie, these are college baseball players.
Paul, these are now people getting paid a lot of money in a lot of instances. NIL is changing the whole nature of college sports. It used to be these poor student athletes. Well, I even take umbrage to that when it was just student athletes. Now these are professionals being paid through some other things.
Okay, well, wonderful. Augie, you still came off looking like a complete schmo. Why don't you just admit that?
No. Jim called
you viciously attacked college baseball players who, by the way, had the biggest moment of the baseball season last night and are now playing for the national championship.
They absolutely did. And had they not turned it around, guess where they would be? They would be sitting in Baton Rouge watching somebody else. Okay, they're not like the team we thought they were.
You're sitting down there watching
them. No, not in Baton Rouge. But Jim's right. You called out Alabama. You were all over them years ago when they weren't winning. Now, okay, you're going to say, well, I'm not a fan. I'm a sports writer. That's my job. Well, what are fans supposed to do? Applaud and say, great job, guys. Even if you got beat 77-0 by Vanderbilt in football, you still played your whole job.
Augie, I'll just cut to the chase here. You're coming off like a typical sleazebag attorney from New Orleans. We'll take a short break, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. Catherine is up next in Florida. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Great to hear about the Coach Price. Sounds like he was a very young person and sort of a shock. So sure it's not going to be easy for the team and the family, but you did such a nice job of explaining about his life and the lives that he's touched, so sad. When I was calling, and like most people, the game last night with LSU and Wake Forest was just an amazing victory. I mean, that home run that Tommy White made and watching him run the bases and then to, you know, run up to his teammates to you know, celebrate. I mean, I'm going to see that young kid with that long hair flying in the wind, but, you know, and just the expression on his face. But Florida the other night, and I don't remember the name of the young man in the center field who caught the final out for the Gators. That was also pretty exciting. He, watching him run back to the fence to catch it and then having to, you know, really jump up to do it was pretty exciting too. And of course, being a Gator fan, we're excited to have something good happen for a change in Gainesville. But and then I guess, you know, the teams haven't played each other that I am aware of this year, so you know, we don't know, you know, what maybe to expect. I don't know what you might expect. Or
well, and I don't know much more than anyone else, but Florida's been sitting around doing nothing for a couple of days, and I think Sullivan was a little concerned about that. But as they are sitting there resting, Sully has also been able to rest his pitching staff while LSU has been playing every day and getting deep and now using their best player, at least until perhaps Monday night. So I think that's the big thing to keep your eyes on. Sean is in New Orleans. Good afternoon. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
All right, man. Sorry to hear about Coach Price. I met him a couple of times bringing players up there. He was about God's family and team.
Person.
He was a great guy, man. Super great guy. Super great guy. But yeah. Can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah, Sean, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, the story has been percolating all afternoon, and we wanted to wait as long as we could, but we did pass that news along a few minutes ago. Well, thank you for mentioning that. I can't hear you, though.
Oh, okay, yeah. We've talked on the phone a couple of times. He never changed. He was a role model for, like, all the young African-American coaches coming up in the game and coaching. I mean, this is a super great guy. Super great guy. But, I was here to talk about LSU football.
Sure. Go right ahead.
And probably one more thing, too, Paul. We about to see from LSU sports just in general. It's going to be epic. It's going to go from the women's basketball to the men's baseball team, back to the football team, back to the women's basketball team. It's going to be an epic run by LSU. But I think for the first time since I've been around going to Bama, Georgia, and LSU, I can say probably since a long time, I think LSU actually might have the best team in the SEC. And I know everybody kind of on like the Georgia train right now, but you can arguably say that LSU has the better quarterbacks, the better O-line, and the defense is loaded. You know, you can question maybe the DBs, but besides DB and running back, I mean, and they're not weak. But this is the first time in a long time where I could kind of say LSU probably.
Sean, I'll say one more thing about LSU. For the first time since Saban was there, you can also say you've got a coach who can deal with the other two guys. I mean, Brian Kelly is one of the top five coaches in the country, and you know, so is Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. But the fact that you couldn't say that about Les Miles, and you couldn't say it about Ogeron.
No, not he. Oh, I played for old me and Frank, but yeah, and that's my guy. Yeah, definitely. It's like when he got hired, I talked to him in the Benson suite with me and Devery Henderson together. I'm like, Devery, that's Nick Saban back in Baton Rouge again. That's Nick Saban beat, not to call Brian Kelly Nick Saban. He can hold his own. But you got that same vibe and feel. Like he's all about business, and now he has a talent that he didn't have in Notre Dame. And like, man, oof. And they're only going to get better. They're not falling back. Like, this guy, the NFL coach with NFL talent, coaching in college.
Now, the one thing I'll say, and you understand the personnel better than I do, but it seems like LSU is almost there, and they've made up for lost ground, but I'm still a little bit concerned how deep it goes. And you know, you saw a few signs of it last year. But anyway, hey, really, thank you so much for the call and your kind words about Coach Price. We head to the break. We're back for a few more minutes right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.